since we're in this week of pondering wisdom, it's beautiful that today's saint lands at this time. Today's saint, Saint Albert the Great, Bishop and Doctor of the Church, is certainly a wise man, a man of the kind of wisdom that we're pondering this week. I love the way the collect of this Mass captures the kind of essential beauty of Saint Albert. I'll just read it to you again. I'll read it again. We pray to the Father, O God, who made the Bishop Saint Albert great by his joining of human wisdom to divine faith, grant, we pray, that we may so adhere to the truths he taught, that through progress in learning, we may come to a deeper knowledge and love of you. He joins human wisdom to divine faith. And it says here, God is the one who made him great. We call him Albert the Great. God made him great by giving him the capacity to make this journey from human wisdom to divine faith, using truths of the things of this world to increase his knowledge of the things of heaven. And then we pray that we follow the same path, that we may so adhere to the truths he taught, that through progress in learning, meaning learning also just what we call more mundane things, we may come to a deeper knowledge and love of you, Lord. It's a beautiful summary. And it's also a way of understanding what we're talking about when we're talking about wisdom. Now, in previous days, I've tried to make the distinction between worldly wisdom and wisdom from above. That's clear from the scriptures. There is such a thing as a worldly wisdom that is not from above. In fact, it's foolishness in the eyes of God. So the people who are very clever at cheating the government or getting out of paying their taxes or who can make money, you know, by manipulating people, that sort of thing, that's worldly wisdom. Recently, there was a case of one of these men who established a cryptocurrency system of some kind. I don't understand these. Anyway, he made billions of dollars, billions. Well, he took billions of dollars from people, and so he's a very clever man. You could say he's wise in the worldly sense, and he gave millions of dollars to various political causes and candidates. Anyway, it all came crashing down on him, and you see now he'll be in jail probably for the rest of his life, but you see, his worldly wisdom was not the wisdom we're talking about. Clever man, probably very bright, but not wise. Today's first reading speaks about the, again, from the Book of Wisdom, talks about the wisdom that is necessary for leaders, people in authority. In order to be wise as a leader, a person must recognize his or her authority as coming from God, as being at the service of God. Because once people in authority use their power for their own advantage, they're foolish. Even though they might get more power, they might get more money, they might get more influence, they might rise up in stature, they're really foolish. And that's what this reading makes clear. God is the one who's going to sort out the wisdom and the foolishness of the powerful. Everybody is held accountable, but people with more authority are held to a greater account because they're given responsibility and they have to use it properly. You know how difficult it is to hold people in authority accountable because they're the ones who have the power. And there's many cases even going on right now where people who were formerly in office of public officials, high public officials, who are being now tried or are being investigated, did they use their authority properly? Or were they just worldly wise and they used their worldly wisdom to gain worldly power? One of the disadvantages of democracy, as you probably know, is that the kind of people who rise up are not necessarily the best people or the wisest people. They're just the people who are best at getting elected. So they get elected. That doesn't make them necessarily good or wise. Very often you can see wise people, wise in the sense of wisdom from above, not even entering into the political fray, which is unfortunate. We need wise leaders. We need good people to be our leaders, but they tend not to get elected. Okay. Wisdom. Now, the wisdom that St. Albert the Great and the wisdom that the Church is teaching us is to use the things of this world and to learn the things of this world in such a way that they advance the kingdom. The idea, which sometimes creeps into the church, that these passing things are of no value is not right. They're of relative value. So Saint Albert the Great, he did study the sciences. He studied human knowledge. He studied history. He studied philosophy. He studied physics. And of course, science was in a different stage back in the 13th century. But still, what he saw was everything that is real, everything that's part of creation, is a reflection of the goodness of God. So if we are wise, we know how to go from what is true in the world to the origin of all truth. That's why the prayer says, so that we, through progress in learning, meaning learning science and learning how to use computers and how to run businesses, how to think, how to use logic, through progress in learning, we may come to deeper knowledge and love of God. Okay, now with that in mind, let's take a look at this gospel. This is the healing of the 10 lepers. Let's try to reflect a little bit on where wisdom comes to play. Now, this healing story is a little bit different than a lot of biblical commentaries have pointed out. This is not a typical healing story. Now, here's Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He's already well established as a healer. He's already healed lepers, in fact. He's healed lots of people. And so it's not as if he has to prove himself as a representative of divine power. That's already known. So as he goes through this territory, he enters a village. We don't know which village it is, but it's on the way to Jerusalem. And these 10 lepers call out to him from a distance, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." In other healing stories, he would approach the person, the sick person, perhaps take him aside, lay hands on him, or do something to show that he's going to bestow the favor on them that they're asking. Or he would very often test them a little bit, test their faith. What are you asking for? What do you want from me? In other words, do you have the faith required to open yourself to God's work? But he doesn't do any of that with these 10. They call out to him from a distance. It says here, when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Why didn't he just heal them? Why didn't he say something to them? Why wasn't he more personable? Or why didn't he approach them? Why didn't he touch them? He didn't do any of the things he does with other sick people. "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now that sounds to us like go away, you know, search for healing from another source. That's not what it means. "Go show yourself to the priests" was the command clearly spelled out in the Old Testament for the process by which a healed leper could be reintegrated into the community, because the priests are the ones who determine whether you're healed or not. So to say, "Go show yourselves to the priests," is a way of saying, a shortcut, a way of saying, go and get a declaration that you're healed. So put trust in the healing power that is at work and continue your journey. Instead of healing them first, and then saying, "Go show yourself to the priest," he says, "Go show yourself to the priest," so that they have to take on faith that they will be healed. And to their credit, they do it. He says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. So here's where wisdom comes in. When we get a direction from God, when we get an indication of what we're supposed to do, we should do it. Even if we think he should do something else first, even if we think he should bless us more first or take care of our problems first, that's not how it works. Obedience of faith, or the wisdom of faith, is to do what God says, to be obedient to his commands, to trust that he is at work even when we don't see or understand what he's doing. And that's what these 10 do. Go show yourself to the priest. They went. And as they were going, they were cleansed. It's a indication of how the journey of faith works. It's not that God shows us everything first and then, because we know it's true, we follow. That's not how it works. No, it's as we are going, we are cleansed. As we make steps of faith, we grow in faith. As we love, we grow in love. As we exercise wisdom, we grow in wisdom. We saw this on Sunday. Remember the 10 virgins. So this is 10 lepers. They're all wise, except one shows himself to be wiser. But in the parable on Sunday, there are 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. What was the distinction? Well, the wise ones exercised their wisdom. They had this supply of oil. They knew that they had to persevere, even in the dark, even in case of a delay. They knew what they had to do to be ready to receive the groom. And the foolish ones, well, they did it. They didn't do their part. So wisdom, when we use it, even if we only have a little bit, will lead to greater wisdom. Now, that healing story could have ended there. As they were going, they were cleansed. The power of God cleansed them of the terrible affliction of leprosy. But that's not the end of the story. The next thing we learn is that one of them comes back, glorifying God. He falls at the feet of Jesus, an attitude, a posture of great humility and honor and respect, and he thanks him. He's a Samaritan. He's the one who you would least expect to be a good man or to be a wise man. But here he is. He's a wise man. And Jesus points out the distinction. 10 were cleansed, right? He knew that they were cleansed. I don't know if anybody else knew it, but he announced that 10 were cleansed. Where are the other 9? Where are they? Well, they're still on their way to the priests, we assume. They're rejoicing that they're cleansed. They have received the benefit, but they don't take the next step, and this is where they're lacking wisdom. They don't take the next step to acknowledge the one who healed them. There's something lacking in their faith. Jesus points it out by saying, this one Samaritan who returned to give thanks to God is the one to whom he says, stand up and go, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Well, we would say, well, actually, Jesus is the one who saved him. Jesus is the one who healed him. Right. But this man, after being healed, had enough faith to be able to acknowledge the Lord properly. So his journey of faith continued, whereas the other 9, we don't know. We don't know what happened to their faith or if their faith saved them. They were healed, but that doesn't mean that they became disciples or that they recognized the fullness of what God was doing. So that's where they're lacking wisdom. Wisdom is to use what we're given properly so as to make progress in our journey of faith. Or if you want to put it the way the liturgy puts it, to make progress in learning so as to come to a deeper knowledge and love of God. That's what this man did. That's what St. Albert the Great did, and that's what we're being invited to do. Whatever we receive, whatever blessing we have, whatever gift we have, whatever command we've received, whatever insight we get from the Lord, we're supposed to use it to increase, to draw closer to Jesus Christ, to continue on our journey of faith. And as we journey, we grow. As we journey, we are cleansed. As we journey, we grow in faith. As we journey, we grow wise. I'll just give one last example of this. Probably the most famous of the wise men in the Bible, or among the famous ones, are the Magi. I know it's not Christmas time yet, but people are putting up all their Christmas decorations. We call the Magi wise men. Why? Because they used their knowledge of stars, of astronomy, of history, of cultures, of the system of learning. They used whatever they had as Magi to find the Lord. They were wise. And when they found him, they went home a different way. You know the story of the Magi. They're examples of the very thing I'm trying to describe here. That as we go, we grow. If we don't move, if we're not on the journey, but then we don't grow. We can't be cleansed, we can't grow in faith, can't grow in wisdom. So with the example of the Magi, example of St. Albert the Great, the example of this one Samaritan leper, let us continue our journey and grow in wisdom and faith.